You're my favorite anyways.
How you doing there, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad you can, so you can hear me, huh?
I can hear you. I hear an echo from myself, but nothing I can't live with. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it evolves. What a pleasant surprise to see your smiling face here on the electric radio.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, normally Nikki is there. Have you been having a pleasant day today?
Yeah, actually, it's been nice. It's real nice. It's beautiful out here in Santa Cruz. It is beautiful.
It is equally beautiful, I think. I am assuming it's equally beautiful here at KSCO North. But we're going to do a program, one of these, free-form open mic type programs, but I do have a topic that I think will be of interest, and a very special guest. I mean, so special a guest that I'm so excited, and I don't even know what to say. So all I can do is introduce the guest after you start the program.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hey, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, all the ships at sea, MZ welcoming you to hour number one of your KSCO Saturday special. God, there's so much to talk about. I mean, every day that passes, more things happen to comment on. But we're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon today, and you're invited to participate. Be on with us by calling 479-1080. We hope you'll stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, this is the very special fanfare music that we reserve for only special guests. Hope it's not too much of a buildup. We'll see. David Kirchhoff, welcome to KSCO.
Thank you.
You are a real estate broker from Marin County.
That's correct, I am.
Yeah, and we're not going to be talking about real estate. It might come up a little bit, but we're going to be talking about something that was intriguing. In talking with you very recently, in fact, it was just yesterday, we were having a conversation on the telephone about Obamacare. And you have some very strong and unorthodox views about Obamacare. To put it mildly, you're not in favor of it, but you have, I think you seem to understand it and you seem to get it. And I've had a big question mark in my mind throughout the whole discussion and debate about Obamacare and what they call health care in the United States, this huge debate that's been going on and continues. And it's bothered me that nobody's talking about the root cause of the issue, and that is not about how to pay for more and more and more of a failed system, but how to make health better in our country. And I think you sort of go along with that too, right? I mean, you have some very definite thoughts about that. You want to start sharing with us today and start the discussion?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, Obamacare, it's sold, at least the way I've heard it, is it's sold as health care. And it's exactly the opposite of health care. Health care the end goal should be designed to create health. And unfortunately, in Obamacare, what it is, it's a system whereby it's a delivery system for basically drugs and for doctors and to deal with disease and not to create health. And I think that's a fundamental issue. I mean, they're never going to get costs under control if in a system where people are simply if they're under distress, they go to a doctor. The doctor's underpaid, he's under time pressures, et cetera, et cetera, and so what he or she is going to do is going to label the disease and write a prescription. And there's not a prescription around that has ever really created health. All it's done is to cover up symptoms or deal with symptoms. And, you know, so you don't, it's a misnomer that it's healthcare. It doesn't have anything to do with healthcare. Healthcare has to do with basically preventing disease and creating lifestyles, and whether it's with food or supplements or vitamins or whatever, or being hydrated or laying off the booze or whatever. There's so many aspects to it, but that's what creates health. And prescription drugs don't create health. Doctors basically don't create health. They can deal with you know, gunshot wounds, and they can deal with car accidents, and maybe if it gets so bad that it's cancer and that kind of thing. But the key to healthcare is to have a system which is designed to create health. And what you get with the current system is it's so money driven. I mean, the drug companies, basically, if you have diabetes or whatever, the drug companies have no interest in you getting off of diabetes. Otherwise, I mean, if they do, they aren't selling their prescription drugs.
Yeah, for sure. Do you? When did you figure this out? A long time ago, right?
Well, I basically began to question the whole system. There were a number of you know, my history was that I was an Army brat, and so I was a product of the original socialized medicine, which is Army medicine. Army medicine was absolutely wonderful. My parents were Depression people. My father's a West Pointer. He was in the military, career military. And so from cradle to grave, I was born in an Army hospital, and from cradle to grave, I had free health care. All I had to do was just, you know, my mom or dad would make a call, and boy, right in there, and got the best docs in the world, and there we go. And something started, you know, the Depression era people, because of the advances in modern medicine, they became really, you know, penicillin and all these miracle drugs, they became totally convinced that this was the whole new way, and they became, and I think that's really the beginning of when the MD profession became sort of a new priest class in society. It was because they had all these miracle answers for issues that had, you know, been problems for people. And when I started to notice it was as a child, every time I went to the Army doctor for any issue, cold, you know, flu, you know, whatever, they gave me penicillin. And after about 4 or 5 years of getting these injections of penicillin, I became allergic to it. And I started, you know, I was just a kid, but I started thinking, well, why should I be, you know, be allergic to penicillin? And clearly what had happened was overdosing. And so your body creates a resistance to it. And then later I watched what happened with my parents, both of whom had bought into the priest class notion, and who had considered doctors. They would go to a doctor. If a doctor, whatever the doctor said was just holy. It was just, got to do that, got to do that. And they never thought about any of these, you know, issues about how you actually create health. Instead, it was constantly, you know, one prescription after another. And my father ended up with a series of, he had multiple prescriptions, which were, you know, there was a cocktail that was toxic. Yeah. And we
call that polypharmacy, right?
Whatever they call it, but it's deadly. Yeah. And it was killing him. And
that's what happens to so many people these days. How many people do you know right now who are on multiple prescription drugs?
You know, I really don't ask that question of people, but it's a bunch. It's a bunch, because I mean, I'm amazed that, you know, when you really see it is when you travel with somebody and then in the morning you watch the pills come out and you can see, or out of their ditty bag, here come all these little bottles with, you know, they're clearly prescription drugs. Or, you know, in real estate, we go around and look at houses, and including, you know, hitting the master bathroom, and you go in there and you see this row after row of prescription drugs. So it's a lot more than, I mean, it's a lot of people, but it's not something that I, you know, discuss with people all the time. But people, my father, it was interesting because we, when he was, I mean, he got very, very sick from this toxic cocktail. And I remember, and I kind of said, you know, we got to get to the doc. There's something going on here. And I didn't know, I realized what it was. Fortunately, we got to an old style family doctor. And I'll never forget him. He didn't, you know, he had pot gut, and he was just absolutely the opposite of you know, the somebody who's out there running marathons, that kind of stuff. So, and I took my father in, and the very first thing that this gentleman asked, he says, "What prescription drugs are you on?" Well, out came this whole list of prescription drugs, and he said, "Stop every single one of them right now."
Wow.
Well, I've never seen anybody get healthier quicker. When he stopped taking these.
Well, how was it
drugs?
You weren't going to an Army doctor by then? Right?
Well, he was retired. And uh-huh. So once they retired, they started shifting people off to, you know, private doctors. He still had access to the Army doctor, but he would have had to drive to, you know, a military hospital to get him.
So your dad took this old-time pot gut doctor's mm-hmm. advice and it got rid of all mm-hmm. of the prescription mm-hmm. medications he mm-hmm. was on and started feeling better immediately.
Yeah, about 2-3 days. It was unbelievable. I mean, as soon as that crap got flushed out of his system, he was all of a sudden better. And then the doc started adding back one or two prescriptions at a time and basically, you know, prioritize what the issues were with him. And I can't remember what the issues were, but he... you know, it was a much more sensible approach. You know, personally, I think it could have been dealt with without any of the prescriptions, but that's, you know, I'm not a doctor.
Hmm. Well, so anyhow, this was quite a while ago, right? I
mean, well, that was back in...
You had this epiphany that...
Yeah, uh-huh. It was back in 1980, something like that. It's before he died, you know. And I knew something was wrong because his family... You know, they were old-timey farmers, and he was born in a log cabin, and, you know, and they were original sustenance people. Every single thing was used. I mean, they talk about environmentalism and recycling and this. That's all they did was recycle. You know, when they slaughtered a pig, everything was used. The pig's feet were used, and the pig brain, the blood was used to make blutwurst, and the skin was used, and the hair was used, and... The ears were pickled and the whole nine yards, and you know, it was the corn cobs were used for the outhouse, and so everything was totally, you know, used. And so and his family, they lived, you know, mid-80s, 90s, and they had huge longevity. And simple people who, you know, hardworking people who never didn't see docs, and they didn't have any clue about anything except to, you know, eat what they had on the farm. It was interesting because in my dad used to tell me, he said that we didn't eat butter because we took the butter and sold it. Instead, everything was lard, so they're sitting there, piece of toast.
You sold all the good stuff.
Sold all the good stuff to get cash. And so they, you know, a piece of toast in the morning, and they'd spread lard on it. I mean, if you can imagine people doing that today.
That's sickening and disgusting.
Well, yeah, but the point, I mean, you know, lard's supposed to be terrible, but I don't know. I mean, here these guys are all
okay,
over
so,
the
so if,
years old.
If your dad hadn't, if you hadn't gotten off of polypharmacy, how old was he by then?
Well, I think he was late 70s, mid 70s, something like that at that
so
particular time.
He didn't last all that much longer.
He lasted about 10 more years. I think he had at least another 10 years in him if he had not been a sort of a victim of modern miracle medicine. If he had stayed with the notions that, you know, his family had and the way they ate and whatever, I think he would have lasted a lot longer. And certainly, you know, the case of my mother, it was unbelievable because she died at least 10 years early because she was another person who, you know, worshipped the priest class, and it was never a prescription that was she would not readily take because the doctor had, you know, prescribed it. And
they lived in an era prior to the current one mm-hmm. where every probably other commercial that you see on network and cable television is for ask your doctor about this or that prescription drug. I mean, the drug companies have gotten pretty smart by taking their products directly to the consumer and bypassing the medical doctor and saying, hey, you know, ask your doctor about it because you still need a doctor's prescription for all these things.
Well, they're creating demand for a product that in real, true health care wouldn't be there or would be there only as an interim solution while you change your lifestyle
yes.
in such a way to where you didn't need the prescription. But instead, what they're trying to do, I mean, it's just, you know, they're drug dealers,
in my
opinion.
Are you as baffled as I am about why this kind of discussion isn't very, very prominent in the healthcare debate?
Well,
it's cha-ching is the reason, but I mean, there are people like you and there are people like me, and I think there are people in the KSCO listening audience who agree with what we're saying. And by the way, if you don't, we definitely want to hear from you at 479-1080. Give us a call. It's area 831 if you're outside the 831 area code. I want to put it out there. Why is it that in the healthcare debate, everybody's talking about how to pay for it and taxes they're not talking about the root of the problem?
Well, I think there's a couple, reasons. I mean, first of all, health takes behavioral change, and people don't want to do that. Somebody who's used to drinking 4 supersized Coca-Colas a day, and you suggest to them that that's not a good thing and it's contributing to their diabetes, et cetera, you know, change is hard. I mean, it's like somebody who drinks too much. I mean, to change is difficult, okay? And so the easy solution is to create a so-called healthcare system. It's not healthcare. It's a prescription drug delivery system, really is what it is. Is to create a prescription drug delivery system that is free. I mean, how many people can, you know, it's so easy to say, to go to the doc and get something free. And that it's your one pill and it's going to cure everything versus to sit down and take a look at what you're doing, accept responsibility for it, to be accountable and to change, you know, issues, change lifestyle to where you're end goal is health rather than the simple solution. I mean, the diabetes epidemic is classic at this point because diabetes, at least type 2, I'm not talking about, juvenile onset diabetes, but adult onset diabetes is purely a lifestyle, as far as from what I've seen, is purely a lifestyle issue. People have behavioral patterns which create the diabetes. They drink the Cokes. They eat the high glycemic carbohydrates, et cetera, and they get overweight. They don't exercise, and they create a situation to where their body basically in defense creates diabetes, and it can be changed. I mean, you can if you get off of the carbohydrates and you increase the protein and you lose the weight and you get out and have a walk every morning or every evening or both, and in no time at all, type 2 diabetes, mitigates greatly. And in
That's
most
true.
And
That's
in most cases
true.
Stops. In most cases goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely nonsense. But that's not the game, because the doctors and the drug companies don't get paid for curing diabetes. Instead, in some ways, I mean, it's a very cynical kind of a system, because in some ways they want diabetes to be around, because if you got somebody on diabetes and you got prescription drugs for them, that's like an annuity. I mean, they're selling this drug from now until that person dies, basically. And rather than selling health and a way to be healthy so that they don't need that drug. I mean, and that's not good business. What good business is sell the drug forever, get people hooked.
Why aren't more people selling health?
Why aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it's hard work, quite frankly. It's easier to sit in front of the TV and not do anything. It's easier to look for the one-stop solution.
Isn't health and preventive health a big business, too? Isn't there a good cha-ching factor there?
Well,
if you do it right and if you come up with products that work and I think in messages that are meaningful and truthful?
Well, I think so, Michael, in certain areas. I mean, for instance, in California, in urban areas, in Marin County, I mean, alternative health and preventative health is a huge business. I mean, the health clubs are full. We've got, you know, the acupuncturists, you can't get into them there's a waiting list. I mean, we've got a whole, we've got dietitians, et cetera, et cetera. But when you go to the Midwest or the flyover country, I just don't think people are nearly as interested. Right. You know, I mean, classic situation. Quick story, but some years ago, I took my daughter when she was 8 or 9 years old, and we went back to Indiana, which is where my father came from, and went to a family reunion. And she's 8 or 9 years old. We get off the airplane, and we're walking in the airport, and she looks up to me, and she says, "Daddy, how come everybody here is so fat?" And I said, "Well, okay, And I said, "Let me just hold that question, and I'll show you when we hit a restaurant and we go to eat." So we went to a restaurant. I forget what it was IHOP or someplace like that. And we walked down, and I said, "I want you to look at the food that's on the table of the people, the patrons of this restaurant." And so we sat down, and I said, "What did you see when you looked at that?" She said, "Well, gee, there was all kinds of pancakes and whipped cream, and there was this and that, and syrup, and these huge soft drinks, and all this, And she was very perceptive. She looked at all that. I said, "That's why they're fat. It's the dietary regimen which they absolutely are in love with.
It's the stuff they're eating."
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the stuff they're eating, and it's also their lifestyle. I mean, it's. There's not the exercise isn't there. 50 years ago, they were on the farm. They were saddling up the mule. They were behind the mule plowing, whatever. I mean, it was a whole different situation.
Yeah, there aren't very few non-corporate farms now.
Well, even if they are non-corporate, I mean, you're in an air-conditioned cab in a tractor. And it's push button. It's like driving a Lexus. I mean, it's unbelievable, the tractors. I mean, when I was a kid, I worked on farms, and I can tell you, we had to hand crank the John Deere. And nowadays, you push a button. And air conditioning, excuse me, I didn't even know what it was. There wasn't any in the house. Now you have air conditioned cabs, and it's a filtered air system. And I mean, it's just a whole different society.
You're clearly as concerned as I am about why the discussion does not include why the discussion seems to be going down the wrong direction, and everybody's missing the point about healthcare. Correct?
I mean, well, yeah, but
so how do we change that?
I don't know. I think you change it with education. You change it by discussions like this. You change it. I mean, at some point, people are going to start to figure out that the pain, pain creates change a lot of times. And people are going to figure out that it is more painful to be with prescription drugs, to be sick, to be doing these surgeries, to be doing all this stuff with medical doctors, it's less painful to be healthy. And somehow, that's the only thing you can do. You got to.
It
hope.
Is less painful to be healthy.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely. No, it's more fun. You got more energy. You get to do more things.
And you know this from personal experience. Are you healthier now than you were at one point in your life?
Well, I have traditionally been. I'm in my mid 60s now, but I was traditionally. An athlete. I did triathlons, the short ones, not the big long ones, but and master's swimming, and I played rugby and all this kind of stuff. And it was easy, and there were times up until I was about 60 years old, if my energy was low at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd go out and have a run. And then, unfortunately, the dog died, and the dog was kind of one of my big motivators for getting out and running around doing that kind of stuff, taking walks and going for jogs and all that. And I think something happens with age also, rather than it being sort of internally motivated exercise and fitness, instead it's a lot easier to sit on the couch. So I did indeed, after the dog died, I did indeed, put on 25, 30 pounds, et cetera, et cetera, and started to get sluggish, started to get tired, energy was down, all that kind of stuff. And so I started, taking a look at that And I went from my annual physical to my doc, and I mentioned all these things. So he gives me the battery of, you know, blood tests, et cetera, et cetera. And the blood sugar was beginning to get elevated, and he immediately said, well, you know, you're at the age, and with that, with the extra weight you got on you, all this kind of stuff, you could be susceptible to diabetes. And so, of course, and then his next move was to say, here, let me give you a prescription. And, I, and I'm not much for drugs, you know, legal or other, you know, non-legal. So, especially legal drugs. And I refused. And I said, nah, let me think about this. So I went home, got on the internet, started doing the research, diabetes, what's this, pre-diabetes, what's this, high blood sugar, what's this, you know, da-da-da, and started doing all this research and started to, you know, and it's very simple. I mean, it's get rid of the weight, start the exercise program, get rid of the carbohydrates, stay away from high glycemic index foods, and you can just go, I mean, it's glycemic.com. It's unbelievable. But you go on there, and it got every food rated, and you can sit there and design your diet around the low glycemic. And as soon as I did that, as the weight...
Sugars and carbs are bad,
yeah.
Period. And well, if you avoid sugars and carbs, you're going to be healthy, period.
So that, yeah,
it's real
period.
Simple.
No, period.
It's a real simple. It's
real
a
simple.
Real simple education real. Process.
Absolutely true.
So why isn't that? Why isn't it good for the country to be healthy? And by the way, is there a country out there? I want to put this out. I'm just blown away that we haven't asked for phone calls. I did mention earlier, if you want to give us a call and join the discussion, the number is 479-1080. I want to stress that right now. I'm astounded that I guess people are just apathetic. It, because I would have expected that we would have had a whole lot of phone calls by now of people who wanted to chip into the conversation. However, maybe it's just what we're saying is not controversial at all, and there's nothing to everybody agrees with it. So what? It's sort of boring to continue this discussion. I don't know. But if you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080 in area 831, or you can shoot an email to mz@ksco.com. It's a Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is Michael Z. With me is a friend named David Kirchhoff. He's a real estate broker from Marin County. I've known David for quite a number of years. He's a real interesting character. One of the few, if I think it's the only person who is a card-carrying conservative. Well, not so much card-carrying, actually, but he definitely has conservative political viewpoints and in a sea of Marin liberalism.
Yes, we're definitely in the minority.
And I was fascinated by that when I first met David a number of years ago. So we've maintained contact over the years. Anyhow, 479-1080 is the phone number to call if you want to join the conversation. Dan in Live Oak, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air. Hello, Dan.
Okay, very good. Something zapped out my name when you said it. Well, anyway, I didn't know you were addressing me. I have 2 points. I could have a lot more, but I'll just cover these two as to the reason why there really is no so-called health care industry for American citizens. And one is because Big Pharma and the drug industry, FDA, CDC, every government department not only suppresses that, but they are actually trying to implement laws with this codex that actually suppresses the use of anything that would be opposed to Big Pharma at all. That's point number one. Number two,
well,
there's really no such thing as prevention health care insurance. It does not exist, nor will it probably ever under the current circumstances, because you're not going to get that. Because
but it's not that expensive for people to prevent their to practice preventive health.
But
so who they they don't even need health care for that, health insurance.
Well, Dan, that second point you make, I think, is right on. You know, the current administration, I mean, they're dead set against medical savings accounts. And I know in my own situation in which I had to learn about diabetes, you know, I had to hire a nutrition. I decided to use some acupuncture as a technique instead of prescription drugs. Basically needed to get a personal trainer to get back on the fitness thing. All of those expenses, none of those, because I couldn't, because, you know, I'm on Medicare, and they won't allow medical savings accounts on Medicare. All of that stuff came, it was post-tax paid dollars. It's nuts. I mean, why isn't there, why couldn't I contribute $2,500 into a medical savings account each year and use chiropractors or acupuncturists or dietitians or whatever and take responsibility and control for my own health care?
Why shouldn't all medical expenses and health insurance premiums be deductible? What's the answer to that? Why shouldn't that be? I don't understand. Can anybody explain that to me?
Well, you're talking about an oppressive industry that's already in place. That's the medical industry. You're not going to overpower them any more than you're going to overpower the Democrat and Republican two-party system with a little, you know, private party that is going to glean support from, like, all the citizens of the United States to finally have things the way they should be.
Dan, you could be right about that. What blows me away is that there isn't more discussion of the obvious.
Well,
just because, and you could very well be right, as I said, you're probably not going to change the system because it's so strong. But why aren't people rising up and at least talking about that it's all wrong, that people are missing the point? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's because they know they won't get anywhere. Let me give you a little background of my own just briefly.
Okay.
I have spent 10 solid years of full-time overtime medical research in a very high class, state of the art, world class research project and, you know, organization known as Henry Ford Benson Research Center back in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Okay. I'm 72 years old. I've been pumping iron for years and taking care of my own health. I can tell you from my observation of my own self and my experience working in the hospital with patients that there is total ignorance because there is no health insurance that would support any choice that they make in which they would have to spend their money. They just aren't going to do it. They want free. It's like a welfare system.
It's all about free, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, go to the hospital and let them cut me, burn me, poison me, do whatever you want with me, just as long as I don't have to pay the bill, you know.
Well, you know, the great thing about that system is that you go and you're the center of attention, and it's free, and you get to go home, and you can talk to all your friends about how you got this, and you've got this, and you get all this attention. I mean, it's absolutely nuts.
Yes.
Hey, Dan, and thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. Appreciate it, okay?
Okay, have a good one.
Thanks, you too. We have, Richard in Pacific Groove. We have Stan in Raptos. And we have Wendy in Ben Lonesome calling here on the Saturday special. Dave is great. He comes up with these names for places. You know, he just changes things around. Great sense of humor. So, Richard, Stan, and Wendy, you will be next. In fact, let's just take Richard right now. Richard in Pacific Grove, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station.
Dave's the best. He should be on a stage.
He sure should.
I think he's really incredible. I love him. I love listening to him. He's got that dry sense of humor. Just knocks you silly.
Okay.
Anyway, now listen, about the, you know, why isn't the phone ringing off the hook? You know, we've been hearing different stories from Dr. Wallach, Dr. This. You've got all kinds of people on the radio station telling us what we should do. And then 6 months later, you got somebody else coming back on and saying, well, that was wrong. You know, one day you're allowed.
That was wrong?
Well, I'm just saying. Well, Dr. Wallach, I mean, he's telling me dogs can live to be 25 years old. That's not true. I researched it. I did everything. Nobody knew anything about that. So I don't trust that guy. I'm saying that we got so many guys on the radio that are telling us what to do to survive, to live hundreds of years, and then a couple of weeks later, somebody gets on and contradicts it.
So you mean someone like you?
Well, you know.
I haven't heard anybody contradict anything except you.
Well, no. Later on, people will come back and say, wait a second, we were wrong about being bad for you.
Okay, so that's the reason. So that's the reason. Why? Because. Okay.
We don't know what to believe anymore.
Okay.
We're all confused, you know.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. It's a great show. I appreciate what you're saying. I'm just trying to tell you that we're all confused. My mother's 91 years old. She's eaten pasta, meatballs, and all this kind of stuff all her life. You know, so it's hard to believe. Well, what are you trying to get us to live to 150?
Is she a little chubby?
Actually, just a little chubby she is, yeah.
But she's happy, and she seems to be relatively healthy. Is that correct?
She's getting a little dementia.
Okay.
You know, but 91, but other than that, no, she's been pretty healthy.
Well, maybe both of us are full of bleep, David. I don't know. What do you think?
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. There goes Richard in Pacific Grove. Here comes Wendy in Ben Lomond. Go ahead, Wendy. You're on the air on KSCO.
Well, I wish we could afford to all pay for some of these experimental techniques. But, you know, you're talking about trying to, you know, put down money for, you know, the price of a small house out of pocket. And if we don't have the money to drive those techniques, we don't get the benefits of them as they will get cheaper.
What you talking about, Wendy?
What am I talking? Hey, you know.
What you talking about?
Oh, hey, you get in the hospital for a while, you get a long stream of chemo. They got this new thing called a cyber knife that it's a lot of good doctors. And my old roommate is working on it as a brain surgeon. It's really going to help in the long run. But this, you know, your insurance money for those who are the sickest goes to pay for a lot of these development of things that are going to become common later on.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know it, but. That we have far too much trust in that because they're trying to get the money so bad. So we forget things like exercising, eating right, you know, the little things that maybe we can pay for and not have to use that that catastrophic. But if you need, you know, it helps everyone that we, you know, put money into the higher end of medicine because we're going to be healthier in the long run. And the, you know, insurance companies help do that. But
well,
we trust far too much.
I am a very strong believer in the very simple education that we repeated earlier in this broadcast. If you stay away from carbs and sugars, you're going to be healthy.
I wish that was true.
And if you consume, you know, carbs and sugars, you're going
to
be...
I wish that was true. Unfortunately, I researched that back past Atkins to a book that came out in Britain after the war when they had tons of meat and very little carbs. It's more of a mixing problem, and we've remembered some old propaganda from Britain that said, eat our cows, we got to give the grain to Europe. And it's mainly if you have an acid and an alkaline in your stomach at the same time, carb, and not so much sugar. Actually, sugar's not that bad. The way we make sugar's kind of bad. But a starch takes a very alkaline environment, or it just is dumped and made into a bad product in your colon, more like becoming an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work. We're not fueling burn people. You have to have things at the right time.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. There goes Wendy and Ben Lomond, California. Here comes Lee and Spreckles. Hi, Lee and Spreckles.
Hi there, MZ. I really appreciate your truth that you bring to the table.
Well, I appreciate your appreciation.
Yeah. Previous caller, Richard, I've been focused on Dr. Wallach since 1994. I was born in 1947. I'll come over there and I'll go run my life right around him, climb his tree, tear his building down. I am engaged in the construction industry. I'm physically active, and I thank God for all that he's given us, what he made for your mom, for you. That for Dr. Wallach bringing forth things that God made, these 77 minerals, when you get into diabetes, I mean, I had a friend that worked for the County of Monterey for 25 years. Clem went into dialysis. Within 5 years, he looked like he came out of Dachau. I mean, I was shocked. And a month later, he died. I mean, the healthcare industry is just what your guest has put to light. But the answer is Battleship Dr. Wallach, Galactica. I mean, he is a model for America to get on board with, to get focused on. What I mean, Dr.
Well,
Wallach,
it's true. Yeah, this we don't want this to be a love Dr. Wallach. He's type radio program. As everybody knows, we've been promoting Dr. Wallach on KSCO since 1994. Well, actually, he promoted himself from 94 until 96, and I decided that he made so much sense that I decided to get involved in 96, and I've been involved ever since. So he is totally right on when it comes to, I wish Dr. Wallach wouldn't bash medical doctors as much as he does, or even at all, because I think medical doctors just simply don't know. They're products of the system.
Well,
and the system is endowed by the pharmaceutical companies. End of story.
Well, there's just two more things, and I'll just say them. One, I remember a dear friend of mine, very close to the high end of this medical industry around here. This man was the father, and I said, "How's your wife?" And he said, "Well, quality of life isn't there. Life isn't worth living." And then I went, a retired fireman said, "Yo, you got to go to an embassy suite here in Monterey." The guy came down from University of San Francisco, and he has an arginine amino acid. Oh, well, I didn't know but anyway, I went. And they had a guy that had a 7-mode Korean non-invasive testing for $25. So I waited to be the last one. And when he ran the test, every time before he's reading the printer, and he turns around, lays all these cynical things on the people, and 4 minutes go by. It's 10:45 at night. Everybody wanted to go home. He turns around. After 4 minutes, it was like 20 minutes, he says, "I've never seen anything like it." He says, "You've got a heart like a 20 to 30-year-old. The other day I was over at a pharmacy because a friend of mine had to go there. And so I saw a blood pressure thing, and I put my arm in there, and it came up 121. And I didn't go further because we had to go. But Dr. Wallach said 122, and I think he said 121. And I just tell you, hey, the best pump in the world is that pump in your chest.
Yeah.
And bypass surgery is never addresses the filth and the blockage. All it does is rips the artery out of your leg, and what you're looking at is maybe 10 years, and then you're dead meat.
Yeah. Yeah, Lee, I'm so happy you called. I think that's great because, wait a minute, Dave says the best pump in the world is the penis pump.
Is the what?
Is the penis, but Dave, that's a terrible thing to say. He was just being funny.
Give Dave a hug and get him focused because I'm enthused at both what you're saying, but I tell you, I'm a model.
Doc Wallach is definitely the poster boy of taking charge of your health. But, you know, we got another one who's Pharmacist Ben Fuchs. Do you ever listen to Pharmacist Ben?
Well, when he talks about deep, dark greens and purples, and the high vibration from the atomic level, he's on. Some things I hear him say that, but I still love him, and I respect him very much.
Okay.
And I know Dr. Wallach wouldn't have him there if he wasn't.
He fills in for Doc Wallach, but he has his own show on KSCO now, Pharmacist Ben, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Fridays. You know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, tune in. By the way, we expect to fill up the Seacliff Inn on June 4th, coming up Friday evening. Pharmacist Ben is going to be flying out from Boulder, Colorado, and he's going to be putting on one of his standing room only talks. I've never seen Pharmacist Ben Fuchs give a talk that did not end in a standing ovation.
I'll bring my 49er uniform.
Okay, great. Thanks for calling, okay?
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Next call is our own Dr. Biles. Hey, Dr. Biles, how you doing?
I'm great, Michael. How are you today?
Good.
Can you hear me all right?
Sure, just fine.
You know, it's been interesting hearing this from all the different perspectives, including Richard, who called in and said, you know, we get all this information, but, you know, how do you sort it out? It seems conflicting. And you know, sometimes you have to listen to who your sources are and things like that. But, you know, I think that Doc Wallach is right on with what he's had to say. And so many of your callers call in like that. And I'm not calling in to embellish that, but because I wanted to add some other information along with what your guest has brought up. You know, one of the challenges we have in educating people is that the kids themselves are not getting the basic information in schools. You know, I was a physical educator before I became a dentist. And, you know, with this voluntary PE that's been going on, we're basically dismantling the physical education profession.
Hey, when did that
profession.
Happen? When did it become voluntary? I didn't know that. I guess it shows how connected I am.
Voluntary came for the last 2 years of high school. And when I was taking my philosophy of PE class with Olympic athletes and, you know, Mr. Ironman, I mean, I've been connected to some really some big superstars in the athletic world. It just doesn't, you know, dial into my dental practice. But, you know, you still get those values and things, and those are missing. A lot of things miss when you cut out the PE programs in schools. You know, the coaches are the male role models there. And it's a whole big package. You know, in terms of what we've been talking about with the healthcare system, you know, again, I have to agree. I mean, prevention's where it's at, and we're not teaching that. We're not teaching it. We're not leading it. You know, the money in the pharmaceutical industry and all this is directing too much of what goes on. And unfortunately, the television has been used to further that. I mean, what you do on the radio, and I think this was one of the things Richard was kind of getting to, is you know, the mix of information on KSCO is very much geared towards health. I get to plug in now and then, and you know, that's one of the big messages I get when I hear KSCO, and it's a good one.
Yeah, and yet when you're on the air most of the time, Dr. Biles, health is not the topic. It's politics, right?
No, it's a little bit of both.
It is a little bit. Well, I know that, but I mean, mostly. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
I would not characterize my show that way. Actually, how I view it, and this is what I've seen: the higher the level you get into understanding and actually dealing with people who are writing and speaking about various healthcare issues, the more you realize how the politics are playing such a big role. I mean, I never wanted to get involved with this whole fluoride thing, to be honest with everybody. It's just that what I know as a scientist and as a dentist and what I've seen from the political background and how I've been raised, I can't step away from it. And so that's where the politics come in. And unfortunately, we've got to have the politics in order to ensure that we all have good health care, health information. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to be continually indoctrinated by the television on, you know, what goes on. I hear children now who talk about, you know, various symptoms, and then they start telling someone they need this pill because they've been brainwashed over the symptoms.
Wow.
And, you know, there's the solution. That's the wrong answer.
Yeah.
So, awesome. You know, I really applaud this, and you know, we're going to follow up with the show on oxygen. One of my goals is to educate people about how to become healthier, you know, with basic information. And yeah. I think that's really where Doc Wallach is coming from. He's bridging east and west, and he's bringing along the most basic part of nutrition. Once people have the basics, the mighty 90, then you can go out and start looking at, you know, major deficiencies and issues. But unless you're doing the basics to get your body, you know, working, you're already at a disadvantage.
Right. You know, on that point, Doctor, that you were making about the drug companies, and you know, it's fascinating to me to watch television these days. And if you were to imagine all of those drug advertisements on TV not being there, and consider those a revenue source to the media, I think an awful lot of the media would close down because they'd be bankrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting. The amount of money, it's as if, especially what they're, you know, quote, calling the lamestream media, that media at this point is effectively being supported by the drug companies. If they did not have that revenue, I think those guys would be bankrupt.
Well, you know, you may very well be right, which leads you to start searching for who's funding all of this information. And that's going to come back to, and I'll close here, Michael, that's going to come back to the show I do next week on the fluoride politics and the money that's being spent on it, you know, indirectly by the California Dental Association.
Wow. Yeah, that'll be a good one. Is that on Perspectives at noontime next Saturday?
Next Saturday, yes.
Great. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, David. That was Dr. David Biles, frequent host of the Perspectives radio program on the air right after the Saturday special every Saturday. Hey, Dave, I think we're due for a commercial break, and we got a number of commercials, so if we're ready, you can hit the button and take control.
Don't put off till next year what you can create today. With great deer season deals going on right now, you don't have to wait another day to get your project started with John Deere. Unbeatable financing options and savings up to $400 off make today the day for you to own a new John Deere. Great deals on versatile Select Series tractors, efficient easy-track mowers, powerful compact utility tractors, and unstoppable Gator utility vehicles, as well as amazing savings on dozens of incredibly versatile attachments, mean John Deere has the value you want on the tools you need to take your vision from your head to your land today. John Deere has the great deals to get you started. The only question is, what will you create? For details on savings and financing options, see Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer this deer season. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
If you're a real estate agent or broker, then you know to thrive in this market, you have to be ready to adapt. The real estate auction business is booming. While many large national chains are closing offices and downsizing, we are in a period of exponential growth. We run ethical, buyer-friendly auctions using our proven marketing system. We also have a generous revenue sharing program that can easily earn you more money than even most top producers can earn in commissions if you work the plan. We will teach you how it's possible to pick up 2 to 4 listings in a good day and have them sold in 7 to 10 days, netting far more per transaction than traditional real estate sales. You can hang your license with us, or if you run a small brokerage, you can affiliate with our auction team by co-brokering listings. We are having an orientation meeting at KSCO Radio every Tuesday starting May 11th, running through the end of August from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Please call to reserve a spot at 429-2200. That's 429-2200.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Interfacing an HPLC with a mass spectrometer.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar-powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High-voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it. With the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hi, everyone. This is Judy DeVilbiss. You know, life is about a lot of choices. My choice was to get involved with the Youngevity Company. So every morning, I get up, and first thing I do is go out into the kitchen, and I mix up my 90-nutrient program from Youngevity. I love it, but best of all, about 6 months ago, or maybe a little longer, I decided that I'd like to go out and try running. And actually, I go out and I compete. And to my amazement, I'm actually coming in first in my class. I've actually won 3 first prizes, which really makes me feel great. Hey, come on. I'm 66 years old. I'm not...
Okay. Okay, you're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. We join Fox News in progress.
Oil to the surface in a waiting tanker. That won't happen until Monday at the earliest. Meanwhile, here in Venice and other fishing towns, they're trying to get the word out that while the commercial fish, oyster, crab, and shrimp areas are closed, sport fishing is still going strong and they are open for business. Unfortunately, less business as people all over the world who book trips to this world-class fishing area have been canceling. Karen?
Rich, thank you. Sopping wet Tennessee has FEMA agents sloshing through now, assessing damage and offering resources.
If you go down a street and you look down there and somebody says it's fine, that's not good enough for us. We want to make sure we're going into every area. We've got eyes on the ground, mass on target in terms of knowing where the damages are and who needs help.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano speaking in Nashville today. That terrible flooding has brought devastating damage, around $1.5 billion worth, and killed 31 people in three states. Another body was found today. The Coast Guard says it appears to be mechanical failure that slammed the Staten Island ferry into a New York pier this morning. Dozens are hurt. This woman was aboard the ferry visiting the Big Apple from Tennessee.
There was really no time to brace yourself because if it wasn't for the ferry worker that had ran out and yelled at us, you know, brace yourself, we wouldn't have had any warning because the intercom, you couldn't barely hear anything.
That same ship was involved in the 2003 Staten Island ferry crash, which killed 11 people and hurt several dozen more. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the Fair and Balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels.
We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends, only on Fox. Smart, tough, trust. Megyn Kelly covers every story, every event on America Live. Digging deeper, debating key issues, discussing the topics impacting you.
Our mission is to get you the facts fair and balanced.
There are two sides to every story. Only one show delivers both fair and balanced. Watch America Live with Megyn Kelly, weekdays only on Fox News Channel.
We don't judge, we let you decide.
Counterterrorism officials say last week's failed Times Square bombing could be just the beginning, and that militants in Pakistan may be gunning for more Western targets. The alleged bomber says he was trained in Pakistan, and officials say more attacks could be planned. It looks like President Obama is whittling down his Supreme Court picks.
We know of four people President Obama has interviewed in recent days, two men and two women. Judge Sidney Thomas is one of the finalists and is a bit of an unknown, certainly to those inside the Beltway. That's because Thomas is a Montana man through and through. He's a judge on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has a liberal reputation. Judge Merrick Garland has also been interviewed and is likewise a federal appellate court judge. Of the reputed finalists, Garland is the one conservatives say is most to their liking. Judge Diane Wood and Solicitor General Elena Kagan are also under consideration. In Washington, Lee Ross, Fox News Radio.
Maybe you could leave more than your electric bill for your mail carrier today.
It's the 18th annual Stamp Out Hunger Day, when letter carriers around the country pick up food donations. Over the years, they've gathered 73 million pounds of food. And despite the lousy economy, the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, Fred Rolando, says people give.
You know, when you create a vehicle for people to do the right thing for their neighbors, it's amazing how they come through no matter what's going on in the economy.
All you have to do is leave non-perishables in a bag by your mailbox, and your postal carrier makes sure it gets to a local food bank. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
Roman Polanski's lawyers are arguing that the Swiss should not simply assume an extradition request from the U.S. is correct. Last month, a Swiss official said they were assuming facts were correct. This Oscar-winning director's lawyers are also trying to earn the release of secret testimony by the ex-prosecutor of the case against Polanski. He's accused of drugging and raping a 13-year-old 3 decades ago. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Another beautiful Saturday here on the Central Coast. Your forecast for today is for mostly sunny conditions by the afternoon. Highs will be around 66 degrees, light winds around 15 miles per hour. Doesn't sound very light to me. Your forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy with lows around 46 degrees, winds west-northwest between 10 and 13 miles per hour. Your forecast for tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers as well as possible thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Same thing goes for Monday. However, the rest of your week calls for sunny and warm conditions. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, and northwest swells 2 to 4 feet every 7 seconds, along with patchy fog. Outside KSCO Studios, it's 64 degrees. We're going to take a real quick look at traffic conditions. I suspect there's nothing going on out there, and my suspicions are right. Nothing worth reporting, but if you see something that we should report, give us a call at 475-1080. Coming up next, hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Hey, Dave, was I dreaming or was rain not forecast for today?
No, it's for tomorrow.
Didn't I hear a forecast earlier in the week that it was supposed to rain on Saturday?
Well, maybe, but, you know, these things get updated so much.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that it ain't. Believe me, I do not like rain. There's too much rain already. Plus, it depresses me. I'm a sunshine sort of guy. So, all right. Well, we're going to do a different topic here. I want the phone lines to jam up with people. So I want people to come up with the most controversial topics they can imagine here on this open mic version of the Saturday special. And we will commence that after we do the official opening, followed by the world premiere of the latest K's commentary. So take it away, Dave.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
All right, it's not every day that you get 10,000 watts thrown at you where you can get on the air and spout off over anything you want. We're going to do it today.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO. Bye.
Wouldn't it be funny if nobody cared about that and nobody called anyhow? Anyhow, Dave, I think we've got a world premiere of a K's commentary coming up, right?
Righto.
So no better time than the present, right?
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Because their existence in our country remains incongruous, let's examine sanctuary cities in the U.S. How long have they been allowed to flourish, and more importantly, why? Surely there were none when the 13 states were born in 1776. For those of you who don't know, sanctuary cities are places that welcome and protect known illegals in our country. Also, for your information, there are 31 sanctuary cities in our country. Los Angeles was the first. That was in 1979. San Francisco is one of the very active ones. It protects various illegal incidents that would otherwise not be tolerated by any other cities in our country. New York City is another. These 31 American cities have ordinances banning city employees and police from asking about immigration status. Some states forbid sanctuary cities because they know it undermines the laws of the state. Why should there be places in the U.S. which encourage and condone illegal behavior and are protected and coddled for breaking our laws? Those leaders of sanctuary cities could agree that because we're a free nation, people should have the right to change the laws if they can get away with it. That sounds crazy to me, but that's exactly what sanctuary cities do. Very interesting, though. Right now, and what the governor of Arizona did a while ago to protect her state, which is overrun with illegals and their problems, all sanctuary cities are crying out and accusing Arizona of committing the shameful act of possibly inquiring that people who look Mexican or Spanish should show proof of citizenship. The federal government refuses to keep the border closed, so those numerous problems with illegals must be dealt with by the Arizona governor. Our bleeding heart liberals think it's unforgivable to embarrass any Spanish-looking person if he or she is here illegally. Why are we concerned about their tender feelings if they cross the border and break our laws? If they break into your home, would you still be polite and gentle with their feelings? If I tried to enter Mexico illegally, I would either be shot or incarcerated, or maybe even both. U.S. federal and state leaders should develop some backbone and close and protect our borders now, right now, and eliminate sanctuary cities, or our federal and state laws will soon become meaningless. The world should be laughing at us for tolerating sanctuary cities. For KSEO, this is Kay Swirling.
Now, who could argue with that? Can you, Dave?
No, sir.
Can you, David?
No.
So that's not controversial either. Now, there are some people who probably don't listen to KSEO who would argue with that commentary. But they can't if they're not listening. So much for that. I don't want to be controversial just for controversial sake, just for controversy's sake, you know, but there's something that's been bugging me for a while, and I want to throw it out. Do we need a post office? Why don't we just close down the post office? It's very, very expensive. Every other month, they raise the price of a first-class letter, a cent or two. There's nothing that can't be emailed anymore. There's electronic signatures are now, okay, and you can always electronically transfer money. The U.S. Postal Service costs a fortune to run. Why is it even necessary? Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, how could you be so heartless, MZ? There are so many people in the Postal Service would lose their jobs. But seriously, who needs it? Do we need a postal service?
Well, the people who do third-class mail and the advertisements and the coupons and all that kind of stuff, they need it.
But let them do it online like everybody else. And by the way, what about the libraries? Do we need libraries? I think if we gave everybody who's poor, who can't afford a computer and an internet connection to the computer, a cheap computer and an internet service, give it to them, I think it would cost less than keeping the libraries.
Well, disagree on both those points.
Okay, good. Well, let's see, 479-1080 if you have a thought. Maybe someone agreed. You disagree on both of those points?
Well, the post office is more than just the post office.
What is it?
Well, you get those pretty stamps. I think the stamps are absolutely terrific.
You're being funny now, David.
Well,
you're playing with me.
I also happen to.
You're not serious.
I also happen to live in a community where we have absolutely terrific postal employees who know everybody's name.
Of course, they're wonderful employees. But
I'm sitting there. I have the option of staying at my computer and getting stamps. And you know what's a real pleasure is to get up from the computer, walk down to the post office, go in, see some people that are very nice, that I like very much, have some personal interaction with them, buy some gorgeous stamps. It's lovely.
But at what cost?
Well, I think the stamps probably pay for themselves. The real issue with the post office is that if, in fact, third-class mail and all those advertisers, if they paid their own way, the post office would not be underwater. That's the issue.
Okay. Well, Michael and Snazzy Cruz, according to Dave, wants to comment. Hey, Michael, you're on the air on KSU.
Yeah, Mike, I heard your your opinion on the post office?
It's just not necessarily an opinion. I'm just putting it out there. I have been thinking about it, and it's, am I all wet?
Well, the thing is, I don't have a computer, and I don't go to the library to go online, and I'm not the only one. So if, and also people send things like parcel post. I mean, it still plays a big role. It's not totally obsolete. There are people who advertisers who also know that not everybody is online. I mean, maybe in 50 years when everybody has a computer and...
Okay, I agree it's not totally obsolete. What percentage obsolete would you say the Postal Service is, Michael, in Santa Cruz?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, compared to, let's say, 1964... It's probably down just off the top 30%, 40%.
That's all? Okay, well, if that's all it is, I would agree that it's certainly, we shouldn't close it.
It may be more
to
than
me,
that.
To me, it seems like it's 95% obsolete.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people have computers and use email, but first of all, Mike, I enjoy writing letters. I have a person that I correspond with, we're sort of pen pals. And you don't get that same effect with email. I have used email just a little bit. My friend has a computer. And it's not the same. I mean, there's a real intimacy and just a magic in old-fashioned letter writing.
Right.
And I think it would be a shame to see that, that discouraged by no longer having a mail service.
Okay.
The other thing, the library... I mean, that's like an American institution.
Of course it is.
And to eliminate libraries, I mean, I think that's really going toward a whole different type of...
Or maybe privatizing it.
I don't know, but I mean, it's almost like eliminating the neighborhood malt shop, you know. That's just part of the culture.
Oh, and I'm not saying I'm advocating for that. I'm just saying it's something to consider. That's all. Michael, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Ann in Capitola, you're on KSCO, your favorite radio station, aren't you?
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to say one thing about when they picked up all the gang members in, I think it was Salinas, 37 of them.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up in the paper was only one of them was illegal. I didn't think picking up the gang members had anything to do with immigration. I don't understand the Sentinel sometimes, where they're coming from. I mean, these were people that were, you know, criminals with guns and cocaine, and I don't care if they were from an alien planet or something.
Sometimes the Sentinel is a silly newspaper.
Yeah, and about the libraries, you know, I grew up in San Jose, and I'm 71 years old, and we only had one library. And the thing is that, you know, when Jan Buse got that big library over in Live Oak, I thought, why do we need that? I mean, we have a huge library in downtown Santa Cruz. We have a library in Capitola. I think we've become too extended with some of our services and that things should be more, you know, centralized. And you could have bigger facilities and you could have more information there. This is just my opinion. And as far as...
Are you in favor of the new world order?
Oh.
And, world government?
No.
Just in order to be consistent, Anne, in Capitola, you should be.
Yeah. No, not really. And I think, too, once I retired, I decided that I didn't know how to turn on a computer.
Oh.
I decided that I wanted to have... You know, okay. Face-to-face contact. But anyway, that was all. But just about the Sentinel, every now and then it makes me so annoyed I can't see straight.
Well,
but anyway,
you have
that's
a right.
all I have.
You have
say,
a right
bye-bye.
To be so annoyed. Thank you for calling your favorite radio station. Richard N. Watsonville, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on.
How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good, pretty good.
You know, in the last hour, Dr. Biles called. He was talking about, you know, he's the dentist.
Correct.
This against the fluoride and all that stuff in the water, right?
Yes.
I saw him at a city council meeting, you know, when they were talking about fluoride, and all these dentists get up in there and they want this fluoride, this and that. And he was the only dentist out of everybody that showed up that was against fluoride in the water.
I believe it.
I couldn't believe that.
I do believe it. Why is it hard for you to believe?
Because the other dentists were booing him. I couldn't believe that either, man.
Yeah.
I mean, here's one dentist that's out of step from all these other dentists that think that they have the answer. As far as the your mom's commentary on the sanctuary cities.
Oh, yes.
I want you guys out there to think about this national marine sanctuary out here in the water.
Okay.
That ruined the fleet, man. Ruined the tuna fleet, the sardine fleet. Ruined every fleet we had here. The fleet's all gone. But yet, we got a coastal commission here. Check this out, Mike. We got a coastal commission here that runs this marine sanctuary that donated millions of dollars. I'm talking millions of dollars to Fresno, to Aquarius Aquarium, so they could build the brand new Fresno Aquarium. And have no fish.
I never heard about that, but
well, you know, this is what happens with sanctuaries. And as far as libraries go, man, they're getting ready to close down that Garfield Park Library on the west side of Santa Cruz. I'd like to live there. I wouldn't mind living in that place. That's why you guys came out with computers, was to get rid of the libraries, wasn't it? I mean, isn't that
you're talking to me like I invented the computer or something.
Yeah, well, you play with the computer all the time, and yeah. You know that thing puts out more damn paper, and that paper is nothing but cut down trees.
No, computers have not saved paper. In fact, it's
they haven't
the other
saved
way.
Anything.
There's no question about that. It hasn't conserved ink either.
But yeah, we were
computers have not been good for the environment.
Wait a minute. We were taught that computers were perfect for the Eskimos up in Alaska because they didn't have to go to the library. Then they didn't have teachers. They could hook up on the internet and all them Eskimos could get educated by one teacher, right?
I didn't know that, but that makes sense. Yeah, because it can't be too densely populated up there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made sense for all of us to get in line and do it. So while we've got all these post offices around and we're not charging everybody for their emails, their free emails, and why we're not charging everybody for all this stuff that's going on the computer, you're right, we don't need the post office, man. I mean, one caller called up and said, well, maybe it was the guy next to you there said we got to have them for the junk mail, huh? The junk mail only pays 2 cents a piece. We're up over 40 cents now, right?
Are you sure, Richard N. Watsonville?
Call him, man. Call him and see what junk mail is now. It's so pathetic.
Okay, I think
these
that's
guys,
a huge waste.
These guys, the post, my
I really
post
do. And
what?
I really think that that's a huge waste of trees and ink and money.
Well,
anyhow,
yeah.
you're making
you
me feel that much stronger about closing the post office. Now, I don't want people to hate me because there are good people who will lose their jobs at the post office.
Well, ask your postman. He makes his money off the junk mail, and they love it. The more junk mail, the more money they're making.
David is nodding his head. Does that mean you agree or that's true, David? What's going on?
Well, there were a couple points. Which one are you talking about?
Whatever you were just. I haven't seen you shake your head. I've only seen you nod your head. So it must mean you agree with our caller.
What's happening with junk mail is you have first-class mail subsidizing junk mail, which I think is kind of a...
It should be the other way around.
It should be the other way around, or
well,
at least...
Well, it's like the insurance company subsidizing no Medicare, huh?
Say again?
Like the insurance companies at the hospital, we're subsidizing the people that don't have medical insurance because our insurance or premiums are so high, right?
Well, that's correct, yes.
So, I mean, the premiums are so high because the hospitals have to make up for the people that don't have insurance.
That's correct.
So you're saying it's the same thing for the post office.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, should it be correct?
No, I don't.
That shouldn't be correct. That should be something that should be fixed. That's a problem that needs to be solved immediately. And you do that by taxing those people with them computers, right?
Well, I don't know whether you tax them for years. I think that the third-class mail and the direct mail and all that sort of stuff should be, that junk mail, that they should just pay their own way. That's all.
What do you mean pay their own way?
They're paying
their fares, man.
Yeah, they should be subsidizing the first class rather than the other way around.
You think so?
Or at least paying their own way, as David says, paying
they're
the true cost.
Say, well, we're only doing one page that's so light, it's feather light. See?
Yeah.
And they're doing a bunch of it. That's what makes it so you know.
It is maddening, Richard. Anyhow, yeah, you're making
it's
me
sickening.
Yeah, you're strengthening my belief here, my possible belief. Anyhow, we have a number
house.
Of.
I would love to turn that library into a house on Woodrow. So everybody just keep that in mind. That should be a house, not a library anymore.
Okay.
I mean, all these libraries came because of one lady named Ann Turner.
Uh huh.
And now she's gone.
Did she pass away?
No, she retired away.
Oh, okay.
See ya.
All right. Lee and Sprinkles is calling back.
Yeah. Are you aware that Obama's about to, he wants to control the internet through the PUC?
Nothing surprises me. But
I mean, when that occurs, any email, any thoughts that you run through all your traffic, your brain now can be studied on what you're thinking, what you're all about, where you're going.
And, well, what do you think Google has been doing for years?
Well, that's very true. And
yeah,
they go too far. They want to know GPS every government site in America. You
did
know,
you I'm, say that you don't use a computer?
But, well, you know, I tell you what, I'm around them, but I didn't build my life with them. And, uh-huh. But I would say this to you, right now, when I hear that he was denied by other judicial levels of the government not to get into the internet, and then he's still pressing on to do this. He's going to do it through the PUC group or whatever. And when that occurs, we don't have the freedom we don't have the protection that, I mean, the government, you can, people have lost their ID. 2 years later, they're still not able to get it back again.
Sure.
I mean, it just, this, then the other one that I got to say, have you all...
I hate to do this.
Yeah.
We don't normally ever put anybody on a second time. I did... Because I just did.
Yeah.
But you're taking too long, and there are a lot of and a bunch of other people have hung up because I put you on.
Excuse me.
I was trying to be nice.
And
but
thank you.
You bet. See ya. Okay. Asa and Live Oak call back. Marshall in Santa Cruz, you're next.
Hey.
Turn off your radio.
What I think is like the story of the year.
What?
Just to see how whacked the world is.
Yeah.
Is they busted these guys in the SEC. Guys in the union probably making 200 grand a year for watching porn all day, and they say they're taking care of their business when they get home. Does that make sense to you? How crazy the world is?
Yes.
They're supposed to be watching the banks. The whole problem is the banks. And the Goldman Sachs, the Federal Reserve, Wall Street. These are the people that are supposed to be watching these people, but they're watching in porn. Does that make sense to you, Michael?
No, nothing makes sense to me. The world does not make sense to me. But it is what it is. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Guess who's on? Guess who's just called?
Who would that be?
Ben Fuchs. But we're gonna wait. We're gonna have Ben wait, even though he's a very impotent person. We're gonna have Ben wait because Asa and Live Oak. Asa and Live Oak has. Okay, Marshall, are you done? Are you done, Marshall? You're done. Okay, thanks. Appreciate your call, Asa. I invited you to call back, so it wouldn't be nice to put someone ahead of you.
I have just one very, very short sentence to say.
Okay.
And that is, it's the last place on earth that there is privacy.
Where
people
is?
Are not allowed to open your mail. Any other thing you send or say, they can get you for whatever you have. Love, hate, world domination.
Okay, Asa came up with a good
argument.
That's
a great point.
That's a really good
point. That's an incredible point.
Not that people don't open up and read mail, but it's not very...
I'm
sure it's done much less frequently than people are spying on other people's emails.
Anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you so much, Asa. Pharmacist Ben himself, in person. Hello?
Hey, MZ, you know, I just wanted to listen. I was going to listen. I didn't need to get on the air yet.
Were just calling to listen. Oh, okay. Did you hear the first hour?
I didn't. I was just out of the gym, and I wanted to listen to
it. Oh, what a shame. Yeah. You would have loved the first hour with the man who we couldn't talk to this morning.
About what?
Yeah, David Kirchhoff here. He's here with me, and we're talking about Obama. We were talking about Obamacare during the first hour. Such a shame you missed that conversation.
That's what I wanted to talk about. I mean, I wanted to hear what Dave's take on it was.
Well, in a nutshell, Dave, you can do this. You can do this. You can compress into yes. maybe 30 or 40 seconds what we took the whole hour number one for the benefit of pharmacist Ben here. Go ahead, Dave.
For the benefit of Ben, Obamacare is not about health care. It's about basically subsidizing the pharmaceutical industry and a medical practice system that does not deal with health except as kind of an afterthought after people get sick.
I couldn't agree with David more, and I wouldn't even put it as an afterthought. I wouldn't even say it deals with health as an afterthought except to the extent that they can make money off of it. It is complete boondoggle.
Well, to some degrees. I mean, you know, I'm not a naysayer on doctors. I mean, if the emergency room does work. Doctors are very, very useful for car accidents. They're very useful for knife wounds, for gunshot wounds, and various other kinds of things. If somebody falls down.
Excellent at that. At heroic medicine. And that's where they should maintain their focus is on.
Well, I disagree with you there, Ben. I think what they should do is expand their focus into actually having a goal of health rather than just treating symptoms and treating diseases after they have done significant amounts of damage. And what I would like to see is the doctors, for instance, in the classic, you know, behavioral disease called type 2 diabetes, the doctors would find themselves that they would be interested in actually curing diabetes through information, getting people to lose weight and go through all the protocols.
Here's why that's not going to work, and I like the idea in theory, but you see, that would put them out of business. If a doctor took care of somebody's diabetes, that's one less patient, and that means that there's a lot of doctors and not a lot of patients, ultimately. The doctors have a vested interest. The health care, what we call health care, but I call it disease maintenance or sickness maintenance system, really has a vested interest in maintaining people's disease.
Well, I think that's awfully cynical, and I'm not sure I agree with that.
Let me just finish my thought. It's incumbent upon us to take responsibility not only for our health, but for our lives in general. We've developed a society and a culture that creates a hierarchy in the sense that we always depend on some outside power authority that is, in inference, is better than us, smarter than us, more capable than us, and we have this tendency to sort of disavow advocate our own responsibility, and to have doctors, which is the way you put it, have doctors provide information to cure people, that would just tend to perpetuate that system. So I believe there's nothing more intimate to us than our health, and so we have to take responsibility for ourselves. Now, when you break the phone, that's different.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you. I think part of this has to do with the business model. You know, I'm a member. I belong to Kaiser, and that's where I get my, you know, my Medicare Kaiser kind of thing. And I've often looked at Kaiser and said, you know, they're missing the point because they, rather than having the full panoply of services. I mean, one of the things Kaiser could do, if I was head of Kaiser, you know what the first thing I'd do? I would create a health club. And okay. I would have that as a profit center in Kaiser. So that when all these people come in, rather than sticking them on prescription drugs for the next 20 or 30 or 40 years until they die, what I would do is get them healthy and make money by getting them healthy.
But what do you do about the vested interest that the shareholders and the drug companies have, that the board of the drug companies have, that the people who are involved with the drug companies have in maintaining a system where people are on drugs? There's a vested interest in maintaining.
Yeah, but you know that whole notion that somehow the corporations and that they run the world, I think that's nonsense.
I didn't
because,
say anything about corporations running the world. That's just
hang on,
Ben. I didn't say anything about that. I said that there's a vested interest in.
I understand what you said, Ben, but I believe, maybe because I'm an optimist, I believe that if you put side by side health, ease of living by being healthy versus being sick, uncomfortable on prescription drugs, et cetera, that
people
the human being will choose health.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I like your optimistic attitude too.
Well, yeah, but if you agree with that premise, then what I'm saying is that the business model within the so-called healthcare industry, which is not about health care, it's about treating disease. That business model should be changed so that the goal is health.
Yeah, I think health and business make strange bedfellows, so to speak. There's an uncomfortable relationship that the business model has with health care.
And I think you two would be totally on the same page with that statement.
It's just a little uncomfortable relationship in the sense that it tends to devolve into I need a customer and I got to pay my mortgage, so I got to find a customer. It tends to evolve that way based on people's fears.
Yeah, but I would disagree with you, and I'll tell you the reason why. I have an acupuncturist whose business model is to get people healthy, okay? And he uses acupuncture in order to alleviate symptoms, et cetera, and get people. And he also uses other things aside from acupuncture. The referrals that this man gets are incredible.
Yeah.
Because people prefer health to the existing system.
Okay. So you're saying there's a you're seeing examples as prototypical, as there's prototypes in place already, and I like that, David.
It's all about the business model.
Well, there's ways you're citing examples to prove that there's ways that you can relate to each other, and I like that. I find that a very hopeful sign.
I mean, health clubs, you know, the Bay Club in Marin, whatever, are very profitable. They're doing really well because people prefer to be when they get fit. They feel better.
Yeah, you come to Marin like two or three times a year, right, Ben?
I come to Marin a couple times a year. I'll be there close anyway next month. You should give me a plug. And I'll be there, Dave. You know what, David? That's well spoke. That's well said. That's well said. And I totally agree with you. I can't say that there's anything wrong with what you said. And I find that very hopeful that it's possible that we can maintain our business model and still take care of people's health as opposed to maintaining or perpetuating their disease and sickness state. Thank you.
Without being trite, that's the American way.
Yeah. No, I don't have a problem with the American way. I like that. I like that. Thank you.
Should we put you back on hold? You want to listen some more, Ben?
Yeah, I'm by my computer. I'm going to turn you on the computer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen.ksco.com.
Put a plug out there.
Definitely. Dave, Dave, that's a perfect up. Ryan in Monterey about a new squirrel order. No, new world order. See, Dave plays around with words here. Ryan in Monterey wants to talk about the new world order, but we're long overdue for a commercial break. So, Ryan, stay there. Stay on hold. We promise when we come out of the commercial break, we'll put you up first. But, Dave, can you make sure that Ben's commercial, which I think is great, Ben's promo for his upcoming live appearance, June 3rd and 4th. It's actually June 4th that's on the promo. We haven't come up with one for the 3rd yet because we're not exactly sure where it's going to be. It's going to be somewhere in South County. It's going to be somewhere in Salinas or Monterey. We need to hear from the readers on that. But we know June 4th you're going to be at Seacliff Inn at 7 p.m. So, Dave, if you got that promo, if you could lead with that on the commercial break, I'd appreciate it.
And thank you, MZ.
Thank you, Ben. David. I'll put you back on hold here, and if you drop off, you do, and you can listen on the Internet. That's Ben Fuchs, and he does the Bright Side program with Dave on Fridays from 2 to 4 p.m. on your favorite radio station. So let's take that break right now, and we will be back in several moments. Stay with us.
Howdy, folks. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs here. If you've heard me on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program for the past 12 years and attended my talks and seminars, you know I'm on a mission to empower you to be healthy and happy. You don't need to be on drugs, aspirin, or antacids, or antibiotics, and you don't need to feel lousy all the time. I want you to join me on this mission of wellness. Together, we can rise above the silliness of HMOs, Obamacare, and our doctor-based model of sickness management. There's a better way, a natural way, a healthier way to wellness than being a chronically ill prisoner of our failed traditional healthcare system. Join my team. Help me, help you, help everyone you know on this mission of wellness, and at the same time, make money, maybe lots of money, all while working from home or online. Come to my free lecture Friday, June 4th, 7 p.m. at Seacliff Inn in Aptos. Thanks for listening, folks. For free reservations, call 429-2222. That's 429-2222. Or shoot an email to me, ben at ksco.com. That's ben at ksco.com.
If you could create the perfect job, what would it be? Professional fly fisherman, cheese taster, maybe travel guide, mountain climber? Well, it just may be that the perfect job already exists, working right here at your local John Deere dealer. Think about it. You get to spend your whole day driving around on all our John Deere machines, like our Select Series lawn tractors, Easy Track mowers, compact utility tractors, and Gator utility vehicles, not to mention playing with our full line of John Deere attachments. And then you get to offer unbeatable financing and savings up to $400. In fact, the only thing we can think of that would be better than working at a John Deere dealership would be shopping at one. So come visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer today, and let's make this deer season even better than the last one. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
Put a big smile on Mom for Mother's Day. Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor and director of the McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz. There is no better way to make Mom feel better than to make Mom feel better. And the doctors and staff at the McCollum Wellness Center want to give your mother the gift of feeling better this Mother's Day. That's right. Make your mom feel much better with a complimentary gift certificate. Here's the details.
Call the McCollum Wellness Center right now and ask for the Mother's Day special. The first 10 callers will receive a free body composition analysis, adrenal stress test, detox foot bath, and a pressure point massage. That's the McCollum Wellness Center, 459-9990, 459-9990, or McCollumWellnessCenter.com. Put a big smile on Mom for Mother's Day.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
When it comes to dental care, you want to be treated with comfort, compassion, and competence. And we believe you deserve it. Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody in Santa Cruz. Listen.
My name is Terry. I am terrified of going to the dentist. I was referred to Guy Peabody, and they told me about the sedated dentistry. They're really great people. The first time I went, I had taken a pill an hour beforehand, and I sat down in the chair and I took another pill. It was at least 3 hours later. I woke up and all the work was done and I didn't remember anything and I hadn't felt any pain at all. It's so much better to walk in there and zone out and walk out 3 hours later and everything is done.
Dr. Guy Peabody provides a comprehensive approach to treating dental problems in the most comfortable ways possible, including sedation, laser therapy, and digital imaging. It's time. Take care of your teeth. Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343 or click on drpeabody.com. Wake up to a beautiful smile.
Yippee, he's back. Steve's Union 76 gas station opposite Dominican Hospital is celebrating their grand reopening this weekend. Longest propane hours in the county, everyday low fuel prices, newly remodeled Steve's On The Go convenience store, and a huge beer selection in the brew room. Family owned and operated for 27 years. Come by and say hi to Steve. He loves KSCO and would love to meet you. This weekend, opposite Dominican Hospital, Steve's Union 76. Hooray!
Oh my gosh. You mean there's no bumper music to come back? But what you did tell me, you did say on the computer last spot, Steve's Onion 76. Okay. All righty. So, as promised, Ryan in Monterey. Welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi. I was just going to inform you guys. You guys are wondering why all this New World Order martial law, global warming scams. It's all because of the Illuminati. I hope you guys know that.
No,
the Illuminati.
Didn't know that. But illuminate us on that.
No, they are the ones who so-called they're the enlightened ones of the world. They own everything. They own you, me. They own everything. Your Social Security number is actually a stock number.
David Kirchhoff is here, and he shook his head, and he's smiling, and he says, they don't own me.
No, because you don't know that, because you don't know what's really going on. The Illuminati, they
David,
own
you could learn
everything.
A lot from Ryan and Monterey.
No, I'm younger than every single one of your callers, and I know more than all these people who are calling. The Illuminati are controlling the entire world. They're building deep underground military bases to hide away for 2012. Global warming is a scam. No one has ever landed on the moon, ever.
I don't agree with that.
The Titanic sank. Not
I agree
on
with
accident.
That.
It didn't sink on accident. It's because the Federal Reserve was trying to start a new... The Federal Reserve was starting in 1914. They needed to kill off the Astor family before they could start the Federal Reserve. All the Astors died on the Titanic. It's a complete conspiracy. Nobody knows about it. Anyways, bottom line is the Illuminati run the entire world. Everyone works for them. All these people in hip-hop putting up these pyramid symbols, Beyonce, Jay-Z, you name it. They all work for the Illuminati. Only a couple people don't, like Tupac Shakur, John Lennon, Princess Diana, JFK, all these people, Martin Luther King, all these people were assassinated by people who are being controlled and work for the Illuminati.
And now, wait a minute, Ryan, in Monterey, wait a minute. May I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Why do you listen to KSCO?
You know what? I listen to Alex Jones a little bit.
That's what I figured you were going to say. Is that otherwise we wouldn't be on your dial, right? If it wasn't for Alex Jones.
I'm just on my lunch break right now, and I just called in. And you guys were talking about fluoride in the water, and I know all about that. You know,
well, are you a regular KSCO listener?
You could say that. I actually don't even know your name. I just called in because some of these people who are calling don't really know what they're talking about. They say they do, but the bottom line is fluoride is bad, and they're trying to depopulate the entire planet. They're trying to kill you and I, your parents, your grandparents, everybody imaginable that you know.
Illuminati you're talking about.
What's that?
By they, you mean the Illuminati.
The Illuminati, yes. The Illuminati is a term that means the elite, which also means the enlightened ones, the people who believe they are God. They are the pharaohs from Egypt. They went from Egypt, they migrated to Rome, they took over Rome, then they went from Rome to the United Kingdom, and now they rule the United States and the rest of the entire world from the United Kingdom. That's what all this stuff is. That's what Pope is. That's what all this stuff is. It's all just blasphemy. It's all...
What about the Bohemian Club?
The Bohemian Club is a club in Sonoma County. And what that is they all worship the owl. They all worship the owl. They're all devil worshipers. They all worship the
devil. Are they part of the Illuminati?
Yes, they're all part of the Illuminati. And I know about Alex Jones sneaking in there, blah, blah, blah. He filmed it. They're all part of the Illuminati. Everything. Everything is all part of the Illuminati. Everything.
Would you like us to bring Alex Jones to the Monterey Bay Area?
I would love it if Alex Jones came here. I'd give him a huge handshake. He's the only person walking this planet right now telling people the truth. He has the gall to step forth and say it. He says every day on the radio practically that he's not going to commit suicide. But bottom line is, like, people don't understand. They're trying to poison us. Monsanto, that huge corporation... This whole world is a corporation. I mean, nobody understands it. This entire world is a corporation.
Ryan, I got to let you know something, okay? I have a good friend who is the publisher of a major, probably the major radio industry publication now.
Uh-huh.
And I told him that he should do a feature story in the magazine about Alex Jones.
Right.
Furthermore, I told him that he should make it the cover feature story on Alex Jones. I didn't know if he did, but this week I found out that he did. Alex Jones is on the current cover edition, current cover of the, I think it's the May 3rd edition of Radio Inc. magazine. And if any of you, this is normally for radio
people only. You know, it's not for the general public. But if anybody's interested and would like to read that article, if they send me an email, mz@ksco.com, I will do my best to attach it and email it back to them, okay, as long as I don't get it. It'd be interesting to see how many people send me an email on that one. All right. Ryan, we got to move on. Thank you for listening. Thanks, we hope you'll listen a lot more to KSCO, because there is more to KSCO than Alex Jones and the Saturday special.
Jordan Maxwell, that's another one. What's your name?
Michael Swirling. I own the radio station.
Thank you, sir, for having me on.
You bet. Thank you. Here's Steve and Carmel, criticism of Obama versus who? Steve. Steve?
Yes, hi, I'm here. It didn't click over. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I think the other guy forgot about the concentration camps that Obama's building, the 600 concentration camps, and also the inland freeway from Texas to Canada that's going to annex all the houses. I think he forgot about those two items.
Okay.
In any event,
now, are you being facetious?
Yes, I am. But I think
so. You have nothing but contempt for people like Ryan in Monterey.
No, I don't have contempt. I mean, he believes what he believes, just like religious people.
Okay. So yeah. do you believe that there is not this group of we call them Illuminati, all powerful, almighty elite? You think that's just a myth?
Well, yeah, you can prove it by who's been elected president. These guys are, you know, a lot of them have just come from, you know, just regular families and stuff.
But those are people who are just puppets, every one of them. The last one who wasn't a puppet, according to a lot of what I've heard, is Kennedy, and we all know what happened to JFK.
Well, you bring
everybody
up
else
point.
Has been a pawn, don't you think? I mean, I'm beginning to believe that. I used to think that people like Ryan were nutcases, but I don't know. I guess I'm becoming a nutcase myself.
Well, point to, you know, the political action committees, while they represent groups, they also have undue influence. So you can start pointing to specific problems in the system. But I don't think this is a rational argument. This is an emotional religious argument.
Okay. Well,
that's my view. I mean, if you can point to specific facts and proofs rather than
I'm just starting to dismiss less of this stuff. How can I say? A few years ago, a call like the call we received from Ryan would have made me roll my eyes. My eyes aren't rolling. I'm listening. And I'm thinking, as far out as this sounds. And by the way, every time I listen to Alex Jones. Whoa. I mean, if 10% of what he says is true, we're in deep bleep.
Okay, so the pharaohs from Egypt moved to England and they're controlling us.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, come on.
David, you have something to say here, clearly. Yeah, David, you were chuckling.
I'm not a big believer in conspiracy theories or in the elitism. I mean, you know, the history of this country has, in my opinion, has been how the elite has, in the long run, has been not gotten their way. I mean,
do you believe that Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated President Kennedy and was the lone person involved in that?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking David.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Okay, all right. Now I'll ask you, Stephen Carmel.
I don't know.
Okay, but you don't have an opinion one way or another.
No, I don't.
Okay,
have
neither
an
of you guys obviously have visited Dealey Plaza, because before I visited Dealey Plaza, that's what I believed. I believe what the Warren Commission told us about Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone and so forth. When I went to Dealey Plaza in 1995, and could experience, you know, in 3D, you know, actual reality, there is no way in the world I could believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. So, and there are many people I've talked to who haven't visited Dealey Plaza who don't believe what the Warren Commission says. Now, each one of those people is at least a believer in one conspiracy theory. Anyhow, Steve, thanks very much for your call. Appreciate
Hold
it.
Hold on okay. 1 second. I just have one other point of fact.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of these Illuminati people and conspiracy theorists are pointing toward Europe controlling us. And the fact is, Europe has had less, almost no control over us.
I hadn't heard that.
You haven't?
Maybe I missed something.
He just said England. He said they came from England.
Oh, okay.
And so also there'll be a Bohemian club. And look at China's getting a huge amount of influence around the world just because they're wealth and parts of Asia. They have nothing to do with any of this Illuminati stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There's only a few minutes left. We want to get Richie in Salinas. We want to get Scott in Scotts Valley. We want to get Philip in Live Oak. But thank you, Steve, in Carmel. Richie in Salinas, about the New World Odor.
Yeah. Hi, MZ.
Hi.
Ryan is not a nut job, and neither am I.
I know you. You're that, Richie.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You are not a nut job.
Listen, the Social Security's being traded on the stock exchange is absolutely true. When someone gets arrested in this county and anywhere, they make a bid bond. And these people are warehoused. People are making money on these bonds. And that's why there's so many people being sent to jail for the slightest infractions. This country is bankrupt since 1933. And that's why the Federal Reserve was formed, to take away our gold and silver and create these
debt
instruments.
Boy, am I happy you're on the... I'm happy you're here. You're here. I'm happy you're here. And we only have 5 minutes left.
Let's talk about this next time.
There's someone named Philip in Live Oak. I don't know who he is, but according to Dave, who screened the phone call, it says he's a non-believer in New World Order.
New World Order is the commercial system. Come on. People better wake up.
Does that mean you're a non-believer also?
Just greed and money. That's all it is. It's always been about money and greed and power.
That's right.
There's no conspiracies. There never has been. You've not been around these people. They can't even get along with each other.
Right.
It's just people motivated by greed and money and controlling somebody else.
I agree with that.
That's all it is. It's all it's ever been.
It's a commercial system.
Scared. That's all it is. They're scared.
We've just described the healthcare system. It's a commercial system.
It's all cha-ching, a commercial
cha-ching,
system.
Cha-ching, and that's all it'll ever
debit
be.
Debit and credit, and that's all the court systems are. They're a commercial enterprise. They're in the business to make money. And we're the slaves and the chattel, and people better wake up because slavery is illegal.
The middle class is what makes freedom. A larger middle class will make more freedom. When you take away money from the middle class, you destroy freedom. You can't have war on the middle class. You can't have these elites farming the people.
Right.
All that does is makes the systems collapse. That comes back to hubris, narcissism, greed, the same basics that have always been around, and that's what they're driven for. They couldn't care about the family.
That has nothing
to do with anything but other than greed.
I agree.
All the people that say all the conspiracies and just put the word greed on top of it, and it makes total sense across the board.
You're right.
And I think it's cool that you guys are agreeing with each other. Mr. Instigator here, I'm talking about myself, was thinking that he was going to create a real knockdown, drag-out fight here by putting you guys together, but boy, was I wrong. Anyhow,
it's a commercial system, MZ. There is no money. Everything is credit and debt instruments. Okay?
All I say that there is no conspiracy. There is no Illuminati. This is all the stuff from the 70s.
Okay.
Thank God.
Okay. Okay, we got to let poor Scott in Scoots Valley have his say. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, MZ.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, Scott in Scotts Valley. I mean, Scoot in Scotts. You know what I'm trying to say. Go ahead.
I know.
Got a minute or so.
Thanks for letting me be maybe the last caller. I had another point, but since we've moved on to the New World Order, obviously you think Alex Jones is a worthy show with valid information and is bringing the awareness of the public of how they're actually being controlled. Would that be a fair statement?
I think he brings a perspective that's fresh and different.
But do you believe him?
I'm willing to consider. It scares the bleep out of me to even think about believing him, but I'm thinking that if any part of what he says is true, we're in trouble.
Then if any part of it is true, then it would be absolutely vital that this information gets out, which is why I guess you were trying to promote people to say, you know, we want him to come out to Santa Cruz.
Yeah, see, it's going to cost a bunch of money here to find a big venue, and I don't want to do it unless – I don't want to lose our shirts on it.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Then
here's my controversial issue for you, and I'll leave you with this. Information is so vital, and we already know that Rush Limbaugh is a shill for the corporations and the Republican Party – then why don't you move Rush Limbaugh to 1340 and put Alex Jones on 1080 so we can actually reach more people?
What a great idea, Scott in Scoots Valley. Thank you very much for calling. Hey, Dave, do you have the That's All Folks all queued and ready to go?
Hello, Dave.
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, let's play it and see if we can hit Fox News just at the right second here.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The giant vault made of concrete and steel that engineers hope will cap the oil gushing from a crippled rig in the Gulf is at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico now. Workers have been letting it settle before robots hook it up. As for what caused this crisis in the first place?
A bubble of methane, which a mile deep in the Gulf is very cold and almost like a crystal, may have escaped from the well into the pipeline. And when that bubble rises, it expands into gas with enough power to destroy all the safeguards along the system. That's the theory put forth by a University of California engineering professor who used to consult for BP. Dr. Robert B. tells the Associated Press his theory comes from talking to former colleagues at BP. He says the trigger may have been heat used to try to seal cement at the wellhead. In Venice, Louisiana, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
The cost of last week's terrible flooding in the South keeps rising. The price tag right now is $1.5 billion. Homeland Security Chief Janet Napolitano spoke in Nashville earlier, promising help from Washington.
I think Tennesseans can be assured that everybody is really focused on this and paying attention, and now we got to work our way through this.
The cost, not just fiscal. At least 31 are dead in Tennessee, Mississippi, and Kentucky. 20 were killed in Tennessee alone. The same Staten Island ferry that slammed into a New York dock in 2003, killing 11, has had another accident.
This appears to be a mechanical malfunction causing the boat to speed up. It hit the dock.
New York Governor David Patterson, dozens were hurt. Didn't we just do this? Travelers to Europe being told to expect delays. That volcano in Iceland is showing off again. It was just a few weeks ago a gigantic ash cloud from the same volcano closed most of Europe's airspace, stranding thousands around the globe. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now, Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions, and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
In Baltimore, hundreds gather to remember a life.
Hundreds of mourners arrived this morning at Cathedral of Mary, Our Queen in Baltimore to celebrate the life of Yardley Reynolds Love, the 22-year-old senior lacrosse player at the University of Virginia, who was found beaten to death in her off-campus apartment early Monday morning. Now, a quote from the cover of the funeral program. This is something Yardley wrote in her senior yearbook. It reads, "Truly great friends are hard to find, difficult to leave, and impossible to forget." The man accused of her murder, 22-year-old George Hughley, remains in custody in Charlottesville, Virginia. In Baltimore, Nicole Collins, Fox News Radio.
It appears pirates have struck again. The European Union Naval Force says pirates took over a chemical tanker off East Africa. On board were 22 crew members. A spokesman for the EU Naval Force says they can't storm the tanker because it doesn't appear all the crew members made it to their safe rooms before the pirates got aboard. Those pirates were armed with rocket-propelled grenades. President Obama singing the praises of his month-old health care reform in his weekly address.
Ultimately, we'll have a system that provides more control for consumers, more accountability for insurance companies, and more affordable choices for uninsured Americans.
Republicans talked about another kind of reform.
Financial.
Such reform should address the causes of the financial crisis, promote economic growth, and end bailouts for good. The legislation that the Democrats proposed failed each of these tests.
Republican Richard Shelby, senator from Alabama. A week ago, they were just a couple of guys selling T-shirts to tourists in Times Square. Now they're heroes. Dwayne Jackson and Lance Orton Jr. were the ones who tipped police to a smoking SUV last weekend, leading to the discovery of a potentially devastating car bomb in Midtown Manhattan. They were thanked at Citi Field, the home of the Mets, yesterday. The crowd stood up and gave them a standing ovation. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got to tune into AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast and traffic update. We'll start off with your weather forecast for this afternoon. It looks like you can expect highs near 66 degrees along with mostly sunny conditions. Tonight's forecast, mostly cloudy with lows around 46 degrees. Starting tomorrow, a slight chance of showers. That'll be true for tomorrow as well as Monday. That's it, though. The rest of the week calls for mostly sunny and warm conditions. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for tonight. Northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 3 to 4 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2 feet, with west swells 2 to 4 feet every 7 seconds. Outside KSCO studios, it's 68 degrees. Now we'll move on to traffic. Traffic conditions looking pretty good. Only one incident to report on our side. This is out in the Hollister-Gilroy area. Southbound 101 just south of Madison Avenue, a roadway hazard. Looks like we have a vehicle traveling in an unsafe manner. 475-1080 is the number to call in with your traffic tips. Up next, Perspectives, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.